Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3, and it's now time for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as always, a quick recap of how we started. Singapore shares opened weaker this morning despite overnight gains in the US and Europe. In early trade, the Straits Times Index was down 0.2% to 3,215 points after some 40 million securities changed hands in the broader market. The closing numbers, they're still firming up as usual, but here's what I have on my screen right now. The Straits Times Index down 0.03% at 3,219 points. In terms of value turnover, we are looking at 1.09 billion Sing dollars. The gainers trailed losers 250 versus 301. Top five movers by value, we've got here DBS, UOB, OCBC, Singtel and Seatrium. Heavily traded securities, we've got here Seatrium, Genting Singapore and Chasen. Now, in terms of companies to watch, we do have Marco Polo Marine. Now, why so? The shipyard and marine logistics firm yesterday said that its Taiwanese subsidiary, PKR Offshore, has secured the Asia-Pacific Crew Transfer Vessel Framework Agreement with wind turbine manufacturer Siemens Gamesa. Now, elsewhere, we'll also look at the latest data out of the U.S. and how that has influenced the recent optimism surrounding the Federal Reserve's resolve to lower rates this year. Now, for more market moves and views, I've got with me on the line Sunny So, Lead Technical Analyst, Capital Markets and Investor Education at Sias. Sunny, welcome.
Hi, Tintin. Thanks for having me back this week.
Great to have you on board as always. And let's start with the US today, Sunny. Markets. Earlier this week, they cheered the Fed's dot plot and in particular, Jerome Powell's comments to and resolve to lower interest rates, even as prices ticked up higher in January and February. For the first time in a long while, he's finally saying something. But last night, we've got some incoming indicators, including that on sales of existing homes, initial jobless claims, manufacturing activity as well, that revealed that basically the labor market is still tight in the U.S., spending is still high. Tell us more about that and how Asian markets are reacting to or reading into the developments.
I think the recent data that came out, as you mentioned, were definitely a touch hotter than expected inflation report.
Yeah.
And before the FOMC meeting and the press conference, markets were worried that this data would make the FOMC committee rethink or reduce the number of rate cuts this year. But that did not turn out to be true. The FOMC committee still expect and project 3 rate cuts for this year with 75 basis points of cuts in total. So we have been seeing investors being very aggressive and front-running on the rate hikes previously and even more aggressive going into the rate cuts this year. So when the Fed delivered through the dot plot and we all know what they're expecting, we are finally all lined up and the market is saying risk on with all three major US averages registering a new record high yesterday.
Right. And let's zoom in on the SGX right now, Sunny. How has the STI Fed so far today and how far has it tracked that downbeat mood in Asian markets? Because it's just, you know, slightly lower below the flat line right now. Any surprises when it comes to the biggest movers, say Marco Polo Marine?
I think on the Asian markets, especially North Asia, they were hit by a series of disappointing earnings due to the economic slowdown or economic slump in China.
Yeah.
Ping An Hong Kong shares hit a 5-week low as their annual profit fell. And on STI today, we are almost flat or finishing at 3,219 points. Mm. For the week, our benchmark index is still up over 40 points or 1.4%. And with the FOMC projections, I'm not surprised that STI is not giving up the 42 points or 1.35% gains that we saw yesterday.
Mm.
And going into the close, I believe we are on track for the third consecutive winning week on the STI. And on the biggest movers, Marco Polo Marine is Taiwanese subsidiary PKR Offshore secured a landmark agreement under the Asia-Pacific Crew Transfer Vessel Framework,
yeah,
or CTV in short, with Siemens Gamesa for projects spanning Taiwan and Korea effective 2024 to 2026. So this agreement aims to support the Siemens Gamesa offshore wind projects in Taiwan and Korea and grant Siemens Gamesa access to PKR Offshore plans to increase its fleet of CTV in the coming years. And South Korea has some of the largest offshore wind projects worldwide and is committed to achieving net zero by 2050. And data suggests that the country's offshore wind power could rise from the current 12 gigawatts to 20 gigawatts by 2030. So this is a big win there for Marco Polo Marine.
Right. And from Marco Polo Marine, Sunny, I do want to focus on Cod Life Group, which is a cod blood bank. Quite a number of things. We know that in November, the news have been made public that seven of its tanks storing cord blood units were exposed to temperatures above the acceptable limits. And right now, the latest developments today is that four of its directors and its former group chief executive, Tan Poh Lan, they were arrested and released on bail by the Commercial Affairs Department. Now, what should we take note of from here? What's next for the firm?
Yes, Cod Life is a name we discussed quite a few times on this show. The arrests were in relation to the alleged breaches of disclosure obligations by Cod Life on the matter of irregular temperatures in a certain cord blood storage tank first disclosed by the group on November 30th last year. So there could be potential disclosure breaches where the company are supposed to disclose the lapses, but they did not. And this could or may mean that these breaches may have happened long or before November 30th. The Cod Life Board of Management may have been aware, but choose not to disclose them, even though they know they have the requirements and obligations to do so. So shareholders of Cod Blood do need to keep abreast of this investigation and exercise caution when dealing in Cod Life shares.
Right. If you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with Sunny So, Lead Technical Analyst, Capital Markets and Investor Education at SIAS. Don't mind me asking this, Sunny. How far is Cod Life still investable then?
Yes, I think as all businesses or investors, we do not like uncertainty.
Yeah.
We like to be able to foresee things to come. And with this investigation ongoing, right, it's actually a question mark on where the company or the group will head going next. So until the investigations end and the results comes out, I don't think it is looking positive for Cod Life right now.
Right. And let's stay in Singapore, Sunny. This is a counter that we've talked about, I believe, last week as well. Restaurant operator, No Signboard. Also very interesting developments here. No Signboard will sell its trademarks under a settlement agreement with its former executive chairman Lim Yong Sim, former controlling shareholder Gu Gong, and Mata Road No Signboard Seafood Restaurant. And the idea is, I believe, No Signboard intends to conduct a rebranding exercise within the next 3 months. Any guesses as to what's ahead?
I think this could be the end to an era and a fresh restart for the company and their shareholders as well. No Signboard Seafood used to be famous for its white pepper crab.
Yeah.
And it's almost dinner time, so I'm not sure if you're trying to make our listeners hungry now.
I am very hungry for one thing.
Yes, at its peak, I remember the company had restaurant at Esplanade and Vivo City.
Yeah.
This announcement that they will sell their trademarks right to its former executive chairman and former controlling shareholders means that the company will no longer be able to use the No Signboard name for its restaurant. So the company added that since acquiring a dining house, the group do not expect to rely on the No Signboard name for its future business. So it intends to conduct the rebranding exercise to rebrand its restaurant. And under the agreement, the company will also need to change its name within 3 months. So I think no more white pepper crab for now. We have to make do with the black pepper one for the time being.
It's quite an irony, right? Because the name of the company is called No Signboard. No Signboard means no brand, right? But that's on a more lighthearted note. And let's get serious now, Sunny. Across the region, sources familiar with the matter said Alibaba Group Holding has raised $357 million by selling securities in its Chinese streaming platform Bilibili. How should investors really read into this?
Yes, I was a bit surprised when I read this news as well. I think Alibaba Group sold the shares at a significant discount, around 5.5% to the stock closing price on Wednesday. It had earlier marketed the shares in the $11.60 to the $12.28 range. And on Wednesday, Bilibili shares closed at $12.28 after reaching a high of $12.31. And yesterday, after the news, Bilibili shares plunged more than a dollar or 8.8% to $11.20, its biggest drop in 2 months. I believe this latest asset sale by Alibaba may be them seeking capital to invest into AI and to rejuvenate its AI business compared to its Western counterparts. So Alibaba is now refocusing its business on technology-oriented fields like cloud and artificial intelligence. Alibaba had also led major fundraising for at least two Chinese AI startups this year and had been selling stocks in a more established name that they own. So apart from capital for investment, Alibaba is also embarking on one of the country's largest shareholder return program. Mm. I think investors could read into this as Alibaba refocusing back to their core business amid the growing competitive pressure from their rivals, such as Pinduoduo and ByteDance TikTok Shop.
Right. And I want to wrap up the conversation, Sunny, by looking at the aviation industry for the next two questions. So the first one has got to do with Cathay Pacific Airways. It has pledged to run its full flight schedule over Easter and the upcoming summer months without any major cancellations. And that is in a bid to bring up slipping standards. I believe it was in the limelight of regulators as well. How would you read into this?
I think for Cathay, right, the upcoming months is a key period of profitability for the airline. The carrier recently suffered a cancellation fiasco where they axed more than like 800 flights from late December to February. I think we do understand the challenges of flight scheduling, and problems can stem from a shortage of pilots or aircraft, or when pilots call in or aircrew call in sick, and they may or the pilots may have hit their flying ceiling limit.
Yeah.
So I think credit to SIA here for the quick rebound and tapping into the aviation recovery. But I think for Cathay, the planning of the rebound from the COVID recovery may not be that well. Hence, there's a recent problems with Cathay Pacific.
Right. And from Cathay Pacific, Sunny, let's talk about budget airlines. Asia's largest budget carrier, IndiGo, is exploring the purchase of wide-body aircraft to target longer routes. We're talking about routes to UK and Europe. Generally, is this a time where we see the big reshuffle in the airline industry? Can budget carriers actually successfully get a slice of the pie in the long-haul segment?
I'm not sure if this is a big reshuffle, because budget airline has been around for quite some time already.
Yeah.
And for budget airlines, I would say there's a saying called, in good times, everyone wants a good deal, and in bad times, everyone needs a better deal. So budget carrier, I think, are here to stay for the long term. Yes, it's going to take up a significant market share of the air travel industry. Hence, to me, it's not a surprise that IndiGoGo is exploring the purchase of wide-body aircraft to target longer routes to UK and Europe. That would expand their business footprint to more parts of the world.
Right. Question though, I think some of the other budget carriers have tried longer routes. It hasn't worked out for them. Any guess as to why this is so? Could IndiGo succeed?
I think you and I know when we travel longer distance, we would prefer
service,
a bit
right?
more space, a bit more luxury and full service. So it depends on market to market. I mean, for our for Singapore itself, I think if we have spending power to spend a bit more, budget carrier might be a bit restricted. But if you look at the other regional countries where they have a need to travel long haul, and the prices or the current I would say inflation or FX currency pressure from the regional currencies may be an issue, and that could mean that those countries may look into budget carrier for long haul flight as well.
Right, lots to watch indeed. Scratching that holiday itch already. Thanks a lot, Sunny. That was Sunny So, Lead Technical Analyst, Capital Markets and Investor Education at SIAS. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.